live election coverage from the Minnesota GOP Victory Party here at the Radisson Blue at the Mall of America. You
and
are
it's actually a victory party.
Justice and Drew.
Party.
Sam, Twin Cities News Talk, Nick Zerwas is still here. We've got Mike and Brian manning the Minnesota desk. I'm been pretty keen on my predictions so far.
Wow.
At this point, I'm telling you, Pennsylvania is what is going to put him over the top. He's at 98%.
I think it's going
to
be Michigan.
It's 47.8 to 48.6. Michigan, though, it's 46.6 to 48.2 with 82% reporting in. So I think the likelihood of which one's going to drop first is going to be Pennsylvania. That's going to be the one that knocks him over.
All right, I'm calling Michigan, but you've been right more than I have this election season.
Nobody.
I say that they'll call them both at the exact same time.
Nobody.
No, I'm just kidding.
Nobody called Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania was supposed to be a runaway for Hillary.
Yeah.
It certainly was never a must win. It was never a must win.
No. You know. Okay, so earlier tonight, when I heard Trump people, or pardon me, Clinton people saying that Pennsylvania was a must win for Trump, that's when I knew they're in trouble and they're worried.
All right, we're going to wrap up our portion of this here. Justice, Drew, Sam, we're back on the air at 6 a.m. in 6 hours, so we're going to call it a night on our end. I was really hoping to stay on until we had either acceptance or concession speeches. Hang on one second.
Well,
we're getting here.
New York Times has just given Trump the win in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Which puts him over the top at 274.
Yeah, we're seeing that on Twitter right now.
Are you going to go up there right now, really?
No, I'm thinking we got to wait just a few minutes.
All right, we'll wait a few
minutes. If the dominoes are starting to fall.
I want
to
hear this. I
want to hear them say
it. It's so close.
I want to hear this acceptance speech.
Mike and Brian, what are you guys thinking right now, man?
Okay, you guys, I have been hounding this Senate District 14 race because this literally is the Senate majority in Minnesota, and it is GD close. It is down to... And I cannot make this up. It is down to St. Cloud, Ward 4, Precinct 7.
Wow.
And if we can get St. Cloud, Ward 4, Precinct 7 by the same margin that we won it 4 years ago, the Senate Republicans will be in the majority in Minnesota.
Well, and guys, as I said at the beginning of the program, as St. Cloud, Ward 4, Precinct 7 goes, so goes the nation.
That is what he said. Precisely, that is what he said. We need to find any St. Cloud people we can find and put them on the air and figure out how this is going, because their website, it's like Dakota County in here. We can't figure out what's happening.
What's going on in Dakota County? We're going to have to spend some more time figuring out why Dakota County.
If only we knew a Dakota County commissioner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
do we have to build them a light rail? Do we have to send a train down to Dakota County to get these election results up to St. Paul?
With no information coming out of my home district, Senate District 57, for all we know, Corey Campbell beat Greg Clausen, and that's the majority.
But we don't know that. So right now it's on to our pal Jerry Ralph in St. Cloud, who's currently in the lead. And if he holds the John Peterson majority from St. Cloud, Ward 4, Precinct 7, he is the new state senator from St. Cloud, and there is a Senate majority. So we need to figure that out.
I'm really excited right now. I'm glad we didn't wrap it up because I just saw wearing one of the sharpest coats I've ever seen in my life. Walking across the room, state senator, current North Carolinian, Dave Thompson. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Good to see you guys.
Great to see you.
Hey, Dave. Yeah.
Good to see you.
You are a sharp-dressed man.
The man moves to North Carolina, leaves Minnesota, and comes back with the fashion sense of Morris Day.
You don't have to wear a Paisley suit like that.
Glowing Rock, North Carolina, babe.
We'd have been calling him Mr. Chairman tonight had he been around.
Wow. Right?
And you don't have to wear navy blue suits when you're not running for office.
You're right.
You're good.
Exactly.
And you can say, babe. You see, I couldn't do that 2 years ago. There you go.
He literally just made fun of my suit.
Yeah, he did.
No, not at all. You're doing exactly the right thing. You're playing the elected official routine, but I don't have to do that anymore.
So we're standing by. We're kind of waiting to see if the Pennsylvania domino falls that'll wrap this election up for Donald Trump. Your thoughts on what we've seen tonight, Dave Thompson?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'd like to tell you that I was one of those people that said I believe Trump was going to do it, and I'm not.
Yeah.
I am shocked. I was...
Real quick, I don't want to step on everybody's toes. Hi, Dave Thompson.
Hi.
John Justice. Nice to meet you. Drudge Report has now put Pennsylvania in the win category for Donald Trump.
So it's only a matter. I think we're moments away.
We're moments away from this.
New York Times has called it Pennsylvania for Trump.
They have.
Drudge
so
has called
20,
it.
That's 20 votes, right? That,
yeah.
That puts
him
over the top.
So he's at 274.
274. It's over.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's done. Once Pennsylvania gets called officially. New York Times has called it. Drudge has called it.
Okay,
Fox News has not. RCP has not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, you guys, we're all excited. But Dave, Senator Thompson, you're still a senator from Dakota County. Can you call somebody over there and get their election results fired up here?
Well, apparently they had Fred and Barney Rubble working on that down in Dakota County.
You can tell.
Oh, Fred. Dave, this is Brian McDaniel. I'm assuming you've been in contact, probably close contact, with Tim Pitcher,
who's running
for your old seat. Is he getting any information, like, from people working in the precincts?
No. No, he's not. And it's very unnerving and it's very bizarre, frankly. What you're referring to is a lot of the Dakota County seats down there, 57, 58, and others are getting no results. And apparently they've got a dispute down there or some sort of a problem with the vote count. And
yeah, because we got a couple of Garoppolo's precincts and that's it.
Yeah, it's very strange.
If someone's been screwed up, it's going to be Garoppolo.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that so I didn't have to, Nick. Yeah.
Just here to keep things accurate.
Exactly. This is an incredible evening.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of people out there really believe Trump could do this, but I'm a numbers guy. And you looked at the numbers, I thought, okay, there's a chance. But even though all the polls were within a statistical margin of error, virtually all of them had Trump trailing. Historically, that would tell you he's not going to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
Senator,
if you look at data and you look at history, this did not look good.
Right.
And Senator, I was of the belief that answering the phone and saying, yeah, sure, I'll vote for him, and then still being trailing up against the Clinton Democrat turnout machine.
I know. And you just hit another key point. That's another reason I was concerned, is if you're coming into Election Day against that machine that has an unbelievable voter turnout mechanism, how do you win?
How do you overcome a three-point deficit?
But here's my question. Are we seeing a complete reshuffling of the political landscape in America? And here's why I say that. You have Michigan and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, that are either Republican or potentially Republican, but it took a while to get South Carolina and Georgia in the win column.
Yeah.
So you look at the southeastern states, you think you'd have nailed down for Republicans, and you don't. But then you've got some of these Rust Belt states, Midwestern states, that historically for quite some time have not gone Republican, that either have or may yet tonight. It's an amazing shift.
I think, depending what happens in Michigan, in Wisconsin, and how this goes, and then even in Minnesota, I think there's a potential that a Donald Trump candidacy turns a historically countable union vote on its ear.
There's been a lot of tweets and a lot of coverage tonight that the union vote has not been going very well for Hillary Clinton, not as good as expected. So that's going to be really interesting when we start to look at breakouts of how certain constituencies and how certain demographics voted and start to try to figure out why they voted at a certain
way. We already have the easy ones.
Yeah.
We have college education. We have race. We have the easy ones. But when you dig in to these numbers and what that looks like, I think the blue-collar workers that historically have been union and with Democrats that have abandoned Hillary Clinton, that is going to tell a remarkable tale.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. It's quite a shift.
We have an update from St. Cloud, Ward 4, Precinct 7.
Oh, please.
It is good, but it is not very good. It is good in that the Republican, Jerry Ralph, has done about the same that John Peterson did 4 years ago, but the Democrat, in this case Dan Wolgamott, has done about 150 votes better. So this is coming down to three precincts, St. Cloud in Benton County, St. Cloud Ward 2, precincts 1, 3, and 4. Those have yet to come in, and those are going to basically determine the Senate majority.
Wow. Interesting. I'll tell you something that surprises me is, given what's going on nationally as well as here in Minnesota, how is it that Stuart Mills doesn't have the 8th locked down? I don't get that.
Yeah, Stuart Mills, I just checked the 8th, and you know, we're, you know, he's inching closer, but he's still reasonably far behind, considering how well Trump did in that area. In the second, though, we still don't have nearly enough out of Dakota County, but with just over 50% reporting, Jason Lewis has widened his lead to about 9 points.
Sweet. Excellent.
Glad
Excellent.
To hear that.
That's fantastic news. Wow. If we can send, granted, you know, I want to win them all, but if we can walk out of this sending Mills and Lewis to Congress out of Minnesota, I think we've got to be feeling pretty good, about
year.
It. We've got to be feeling pretty good.
We've defended Paulson.
Yep.
If we can pick up. Oh, man.
And, Paulson was considered very vulnerable early on.
Yes.
He really, really was.
Where's the CD1 race? I heard that Walls and Hagedorn were a pretty tough fight here a couple hours ago. What's going on with that now?
That's fair. I haven't heard an update on that.
Minnesota
one.
Desk?
We're efforting.
I'm looking at it right now.
I was just trying to provide a little perspective for our audience. It is now 12:17 a.m. It is now the day after Election Day. And
right.
Minnesota has not been called.
Minnesota still hasn't been called. How close is it at the moment?
It is, remember my limitations with math, it is with
reading numbers?
Within 80,000 votes. And Hillary is still leading, 48-45, but it is within 100,000 votes.
That's crazy. Crazy.
And looking at the first.
And they're all in Dakota County.
Well, I mean, in Scott County, and actually that's really important, Dakota and Scott. Scott County is a very Republican county.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, I have another update.
68,000 votes. I used the iPhone math.
I don't have it official yet, but I am seeing tweets going out that the AP now has called Pennsylvania for Donald Trump.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's only
kind of hinging on watching Fox News here. In some circles, this thing is almost over. Just about there.
Until I see it on the big screen in front of us, I'm still hashtag landslide.
Yeah, our
but
friend.
But it'd be nice to see it in front of us.
Our friend Eric in Chicago says it's all Megyn Kelly's fault.
Well,
it is official now, according to the AP. The United States Senate and the United States House will remain in GOP hands. It looks like the Democrats are going to make some gains, slight gains in both. Right now, you're looking at plus one Democrat in Senate, plus four Democrat in the House. Not nearly enough to take away the majority. So we may have, if they're right about Pennsylvania, and they do call Pennsylvania for Trump here in the next few minutes, that's going to push him over 270. We may have full Republican control of the federal government. And I really think when you start to break down why this happened, the Democrats and the left are going to put a lot of stock on the fact that, oh, Trump's a racist. We're such a racist country. Oh, Trump's a bigot. We're such a bigoted country.
He's messaging-wise.
We're a sexist country. This election, to me, all about the economy, all about Obamacare. And
Obamacare.
Quite a bit about foreign policy.
And Drew, I was thinking exactly the same thing you were earlier in the evening. It's also all about the fact that all the tactics that the left attempted to use to win this election, they failed. None of them worked. Look, the black vote didn't turn out for Hillary Clinton the way they said it was going to. The surge in Hispanic voters didn't work. All of the rhetoric against Donald Trump and all of the different attack lines, none of it stuck.
Yeah.
And we haven't mentioned it yet.
How could we ever vote for somebody who didn't release his tax returns?
And again, conversations that we're going to have in the coming weeks, but nobody's mentioned it yet. But the impact that the WikiLeaks emails had in the exposure of that corruption within the DNC, with Hillary, that all played into this. And we haven't mentioned that once this evening.
And here's a fascinating thing to me. It is typically the Democrats, the left, that pushes this early voting, let's expand early voting,
right,
et cetera.
Right,
now, you had a lot of people in swing states like Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, that were out voting early before FBI Director Comey came out with his Sunday letter essentially helping Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So they may have gotten bit by their own deal there. So
I think so. I think that's entirely possible. And you weren't here earlier when we were talking about, you know, the information we gleaned from WikiLeaks, how Trump was the candidate that Hillary Clinton wanted to run against the entire time.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
And she's not hoping for that now.
She's feeling kind of dumb tonight, don't you think?
You know, but let's face it, she's not the only one. I will stand here and tell you and freely admit I had no idea that Trump could come close to pulling this thing.
Right. And there's me and John.
That's right.
I wanted to offer some perspective. We have Dave Thompson, who's been a political sage and a senator and a leader for many years. You have Brian and Mike, who have been loudmouths for a long time. We've all been bested by Sam Sansevier.
Yeah. Here, here.
Right. 21-year-old Sam Sansevier.
I think I need to give up my microphone to the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
And I want some credit where credit's due for turning her that corner, by the way.
Yeah. No, that's all you, man. That's all you. You sold her on that idea. Kirk Dowd.
Yes.
For Speaker of the House, sincere and heartfelt congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done. Retaining majorities in the House and making some gains in the Senate, as we see.
Yep.
What are you looking for?
Making gains in the House, too.
Yeah, making some gains in the House. So well done. I mean, that's a big feather in your cap.
It's a big deal. It's a really big night for us in Minnesota. It's the first time in a dozen years that we have successfully defended a Republican majority in the House.
Yeah.
We have the we'll have at the end of the night, when we're done counting seats, we'll have the highest number of Republican seats after a presidential election since 1974.
Yeah.
And that's when they started keeping track of partisan office in Minnesota. So it's a really big deal. And we knocked off some incumbents that, frankly, needed to be retired Democrats. So that's exciting as well. We're really excited about it.
Well, I think it's a testament, and I want to congratulate you on not just your leadership, but, you know, I've said all along that being the Speaker of the House, especially when you have a Democratic governor and Democratic Senate, it's a thankless, no-win situation oftentimes. Because if you do your job the way your constituency wants you to do it, you're accused of being obstructionist.
Yep.
You're accused of bringing in gridlock. If you actually do the politics of it and you find areas of compromise, then you're accused of, you know, he's waffling, he's giving up. So to really sort of navigate that narrow path where you're not perceived to be either too far in one or the other is very, very tricky.
Right. Yeah, and it's tough, too, to manage expectations. I mean, when we took the majority 2 years ago, we had one leg of the three legs of the stool. And, of course, right away when we won, everybody said, okay, now we can do this and this.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we were the firewall. We were able to stop a lot of bad things. And we were able to get some good stuff done. But hopefully having a larger margin now and this being kind of a resounding night for Republicans in the legislature here in Minnesota will send a message to Governor Dayton that frankly we're gonna be driving the bus for the next 2 years.
Hey guys, hey Kurt, Brian McDaniel. I want to tell a little story about what a great man this speaker is. When the Chicago Cubs were trying to blow Game 7, not only did House Speaker Kurt Dowd do a welfare check on me, but he said, Brian, no matter what, we're going to have the House. And I made him promise. So thank you for following through with your promise, Mr.
Thank
Speaker.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Well, you know what? Nick, you know you wanted to chime in here.
Hey, quite honestly, what we've seen is a Republican majority in the House pick up seats in a presidential year.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Which is almost unprecedented.
Yep.
And quite honestly, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I knew we were going to hold the majority. The fact that today we are growing the majority speaks to our members, to our volunteers, to our candidates,
to our staff.
It's unbelievable.
Awesome job.
It's really fascinating.
Kurt, what are you hearing out of Dakota County? Because, you know, we have a lot of seats down there that are definitely still in play. What's the holdup? Why aren't we getting any results? And, you know, what are your internals telling you about what we might expect once we start hearing about Roz Peterson and Allie Hopper and Anna Wills and Regina Barr?
Well, we actually, Anna Wills, I feel super confident about. Our final polling 2 weeks ago showed her up double digits. digits. I don't think that's even going to be close. Roz Peterson, you know, what I heard, just to answer your question about what's going on down there, I heard there was some problems with the voting machines, and they were, I don't know, having to hand count or what exactly they were doing. Obviously things were delayed. We don't know anything out of Dakota County yet. So we're waiting on that Juergens seat, that's Denny McNamara's seat where he's leaving. We're waiting on the open Tara Mack seat and then Roz Peterson's seat. I actually feel very confident about all three of them based on what we're seeing in other districts. So that's what gives me the optimism that I think we're actually going to pick up seats. We've got three seats up in northern Minnesota that we're watching, and frankly, as we all know, those results just take more time to come in because they've got these rural districts with townships far out. So there's three of them up there, the Marquardt, Purcell, and Tom Anzell seat. I think we're going to go 2-for-3 or maybe 3-for-3 up there, which
that
will
is
be
amazing.
Awesome.
Yep. That's amazing.
Yep. We've got a House Majority Leader, Joyce Pepin, as well. You've been very patient.
An awesome House Majority Leader,
well
Joyce
done.
Pepin.
Yes.
She's awesome. She's been a great team member for us in the House.
I don't want to brag.
Yeah.
But her district is right next to mine.
So she rode your coattails? Is that what you're saying?
No,
your tiny,
no.
tiny little coattails?
I'm just very lucky that my district abuts next to hers.
Kurt Dowd, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah,
great
thank
job.
You. Thank you.
I want to get you guys. Well, we've got a couple representatives here. Hold on. Wait one second. That's the Senate. Okay, I saw Pennsylvania get called, and I got excited. They called the Senate
room
race.
The would have been much,
which means
much louder.
The presidential race is probably not far behind if they're calling the Senate race. I think the top two issues on most Minnesotans' mind going forward, looking at this sort of this new dynamic in the House, possibly the Senate, with sort of a lame duck Governor Dayton the rest of his term, what does this mean for the future of Mincher? And what does this mean for the future of Southwest Light Rail funding?
Well, I think Governor Dayton himself said it best when he said that the ACA is no longer affordable.
Yeah.
He wasn't kidding. It doesn't work. We have absolutely got to fix that. We've, as you know, the Democrats voted for it, and we're going to have to be there and fix the mess. And we're dedicated to doing that. We're going to have to work with the governor to get it done. I think he's beginning to see, you can't deny that it's not working as is. So
well,
I think
he
he's
did
beginning
say
to
that
see
that. Repealing it is a legitimate option.
Yeah,
and we've got him on the record saying that.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I think if nothing else, we should tell Governor Dayton that he doesn't have the mandate on his liberal ideas. And the voters of Minnesota spoke today, and those were some of the really big issues we talked about. We talked about the light rail and the fact that that is simply not affordable for the state of Minnesota. It's not a good use of taxpayer dollars, and Minsure isn't working. So those are two things that the governor is going to have to listen to us on and take into consideration, because the voters have spoken.
As we go in to a session where we have the majority and we're looking at what's in the future for health care for Minnesota, we have seen time and time again that what Democrats have put forward is not a solution.
Yeah.
It's punitive and it hurts Minnesotans. No matter what the Senate looks like, the governor has admitted, as Majority Leader Pepin astutely pointed out, the governor has admitted that it's not affordable.
Right.
We will find
it's not
a
affordable
solution.
And repealing it is a legitimate option.
We have to.
All you gotta do is pair those two statements together and you've got your entire case.
It's the truth. And we're going to.
We want to update things on the national level. We're at 99% now in Pennsylvania. We're waiting for that race to be called. Trump is up a full percentage point. Speaker Ryan, we're hearing.
Yeah.
Speaker Ryan has called to congratulate Donald Trump.
Yep. If that doesn't tell you that we're on the verge
we're right there.
We're right on the verge. Speaker Ryan has called to congratulate Trump. The Fox News is reporting that right now.
Holy
I don't
moly.
Think he's congratulating him on losing Pennsylvania.
Holy
no.
wow.
Yeah.
Holy
cow.
Yeah.
We're House
right
Majority
there.
Leader Joyce Pepin, your thoughts overall on what we've seen tonight on a national level. Is this come as a surprise? Is this something that you thought was a legitimate possibility? Where was your head at going into tonight?
I have to say I'm a little surprised. This wasn't what I expected.
I'm stunned.
Clearly, the people of the United States have spoken, and they're asking for change at the federal level. And Donald Trump spoke to them, and it's not what I expected.
Well,
but
I've been saying for a long time that, you know, it goes one or two ways. Either the polls are right and Hillary wins, or the anecdotal evidence that we've been seeing around the country ends up winning and the polls were wrong. And at the end of the day, that's about what we're about to see happen. It ended up being a larger movement, and all that ancillary evidence that we saw, the enthusiasm, the crowds, we even talked about that, right? The crowds that were following Trump around the country compared to what Hillary had, I mean, it ended up coming to fruition to the point where we're still looking at Minnesota. And as that race still continues to be amazing.
Hey, John, you have such a great point, because we have not at all tonight discussed crowds of 10, 20 to 30,000 people showing up for Donald Trump, where reports are that 2 to 3,000 people couldn't be corralled for a Katy Perry concert.
Right.
and a Hillary Clinton.
I think this just
speech.
Goes to show the, it really speaks to the star power and lack thereof.
Wow.
Lack thereof of LeBron James and the real star power of the CEO of MyPillow. I think really the lesson here.
From Minnesota.
You know, yeah, that's right. Well, pair yourself with a winner.
Well, I have a question.
You had me that you lost me.
I have a question for the majority leader. Joyce is Brian McDaniel. What do you think the Scott Baio effect really was in Pennsylvania?
Everybody loves Chachi.
Guys.
Well, he must have had a large impact, is my guess. I have no idea.
Hey.
One of the things I find myself, and not having expected this, I didn't know how I would react, but one of the things I'm finding myself most pleased about is what we were talking about earlier, how the things that the Democrats thought would work didn't work at all. The tactics and the lines of attack that the Democrats thought would work, thought we cared about as a country, didn't work at all. Joining us now, Representative Jim Nash, congratulations on your reelection.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, I think Mike has some extremely important breaking news.
Yeah, you guys, this is really important. The last St. Cloud precincts came in, and as it is right now, Jerry Ralph, the Republican in that district, has a 200 vote lead with one very, very tiny precinct out. It very much looks like he has won, which by my math means that there will be a 34 to 33 Senate Republican majority
at the worst.
Wow.
Because we're still waiting for Dakota County.
We're still waiting for Dakota County. So I'm putting all the caveats on that, but this is really big news.
That's huge.
But, you know, the thing I was going to say earlier is, you know, if you looked at a lot of the attack ads, it was all about trying to pair all of our candidates with Trump.
Yeah.
And that didn't work.
Didn't work out so well.
And we very successfully paired all of their candidates with things like Minsure in a disaster. And if you went to the number of doors that all of us went to, you would hear very clearly from the people that we spoke to, I can't afford my upcoming premium. What am I supposed to do? And that is something I think that is going to be monumental in hindsight for the Democrats. They're going to realize that Minsure was their undoing.
Yeah, well, I think hopefully that's the lesson that sets in. You know, hopefully that's the very realistic lesson that actually starts to set in with the DFLers here in the state, that, you know what, this Minsure was a bad idea. It was a bad idea from the get-go.
It was a bad idea from the very beginning, and then when they doubled down on it,
right,
to say it was a fantastic program, and then when the governor walked his statement back saying, well, it's not affordable, but I didn't really mean to say that. I just kind of meant something different.
Well, he meant to say it until he realized it was hurting DFL candidates.
Well,
then that's when he started to walk it back.
Exactly.
And that's what we saw, right?
Yeah.
He said the truth. The reports I got back from the second and third floor of the state office building was that literally Hillary Clinton called Governor Dayton and said, quit saying that.
I did not know that. That's fantastic.
It hurts us.
Did she really?
Nationwide.
Did she really?
I heard that from three different
wow.
DFL staff and members.
And he was like, sorry, Mom.
Yes, quite honestly.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. If you look
Jim
at how...
Jim Knobloch won. All right. All right. There's all right. The main chair. Excellent news.
But that is good news.
Hey, look
Jim,
at how...
Just briefly, Jim is such an important
oh, yeah.
resource to have for our majority.
He is.
As a Ways and Means chair, he's so powerful for us to hold on to.
All right. Well, we talked earlier, and we had Kurt Dowd on. We congratulated him, and clearly this is a good moment for him. Let's flip the tables, and maybe this is better for Mike and Brian being a little bit more political, a bit more the political analyst side. On the DFL side, I mean, this has to be considered a bad election for the DFL in the state. On the DFL side, who is most damaged by this going forward? Whose political ambitions are sort of have the brakes pumped on them because of this performance in this election?
Well, I think current minority leader Paul Thiessen, because this is a presidential year where he was supposed to pick up with a perceived extraordinarily weak Republican running who was supposed to hurt Republicans in the suburbs. So I think that's one for sure. I think certainly Tom Bach. If the Senate flips, we're still waiting on Dakota County, which could flip it back. Of course, I mean that certainly hurts him. Tim Walz, who's winning by like 2,400 votes. I mean he might not lose, but now is he the fantastic statewide candidate that everyone
Absolutely.
Perceived him to be?
That's a great point.
Yeah, and then also as I mentioned earlier. With Trump winning the presidency, Amy Klobuchar might not be looking at governor in 2018. She might be looking at president for 2020. So, I mean, I think it shuffles the deck a ton.
Wow.
Probably
wow.
Who's helped is a Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith, because some of the other people that might have been nipping at her heels suffered big losses today where the governor, you know, wasn't on the ballot.
You guys, 97% reporting that this very much looks like a Senate Republican majority if the Dakota County races hold, which
they
is
will.
To say that if Tim Pitcher wins and or Corey Campbell if Tim Pitcher wins, it doesn't matter what happens to Corey Campbell. If
yeah.
one of the two wins.
Because Tim Pitcher would be a Republican hold, and Corey Campbell would be a Republican pickup.
Well, quite fairly, quite honestly, I saw Tim Pitcher here.
Yeah.
And he's all smiles.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that's my area
like
down there. I'm in Corey Campbell's district. I'm a block away from Tim Pitcher's district.
Holy cow.
I don't know that I can call it from being down there, but I also didn't believe
Those
that
were
there
were two seats I felt very confident in.
Yeah. Well, and I just didn't feel like I was here feeling any kind of DFL wave down there because certainly like in the Tara Mack seat, I think both candidates, Allie Halper on the Republican side and Aaron McQuaid on the DFL side, neither of them were well known. So I just figured it was going to be whatever happened with the R's and the D's was gonna ultimately determine what happens in that seat.
Trump wins Pennsylvania. The Hill.com is now also confirming it. It's been called by AP. It's
Andrew.
Been called by The Hill. It's been called by the New York Times. We're not seeing it on Fox News. Go ahead, Mike.
Andrew, are they going to have to rename it the Trump.com?
Yeah, the Trump House. So we're seeing a shot right now on Fox News of the crowd outside of Trump headquarters in New York City.
They've got to go. Fox has got to, despite Megyn Kelly's, you know, fighting against it.
She's fighting with every fiber of her being.
Yeah, I think she's the only reason why they haven't called it.
Do you think he calls her a nasty woman in his acceptance speech, in his valedictory?
That's going to be, you know, that acceptance speech tonight is going to be fascinating. That really, it really, really is.
What tone does he strike? Does he strike the same tone that he ran with, or does he strike a bit more of a, I don't know, conciliatory, but a little more reach across the aisle kind of tone? What do you expect out of him?
I'm pulling for him to just read the New York Times sports page. Go way out in left field. No, I think if he does, you guys brought it up before, and you were very right to do it. The last ad.
Yeah.
If he strikes that tone, he has the potential to be Ronald Reagan. He really does. If he can channel that,
He can't.
That's a big if. If it's a, I'm saying it's a big if, Nick. But if he can, he has that potential. If
you know
he can't, it's going to be a very weird 4 years for people like you and me.
I know where you're coming from, Nick, and I was there, man. I was there for the longest time, and with all the issues that were going on those last couple of weeks, he really, really brought it home. And I'll go back to that ad again. That ad was the time when I finally stopped and I went, all right, I'm good. I'm solid. You got me. I'm voting. I'm happy to vote your way. I'm proud to go in and step into that polling booth and vote. And being in that hangar on Sunday yeah. with 24,000 people, that was people that were excited.
Yeah,
you know,
was,
you want to talk about your hope and change with Obama?
It was hard not to get swept up in that
yeah.
energy.
They saw a future laid out with Donald Trump where they can actually, because right now, parents aren't looking at their children thinking their lives are going to be better than mine are. They're looking at their kids and they're saying, no, they're going to be worse off
yeah.
than we are.
Just talk to any teenager. Talk to any someone in their early 20s. I mean, for the most part, they've got a very negative view on their future, on the future of this country. They do not feel, and this crosses ideological lines, this crosses a lot of income lines as well, they do not feel like there is a system in place in this country where they have a path to legitimate success. And that is really tough. And, you know, maybe Trump struck a chord with them that pollsters and pundits couldn't really recognize and couldn't pick up on. It struck a chord with those people that feel like the system is rigged, but it's rigged in a way that only benefits the elite and the powerful, not rigged in a way that benefits any particular party. Look, we're waiting to see if Trump is going, if they're going to call Pennsylvania here. We are waiting to see if Trump's going to give an acceptance speech tonight, or a victory speech tonight. Let's take a quick break. And we'll be back with more Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
This is TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, because you deserve the truth.
Guys, it's over. Donald Trump is the president-elect.
Remarkable.
Donald Trump is the president-elect. Now, this room has not erupted yet because
Fox News.
We got Fox News up on the TV,
you
and they have not called it. But every other outlet, AP, New York Times, I just refreshed RCP. They have called Pennsylvania. That puts Trump at 274 to Clinton's 215.
He's going
to
lock up Arizona. That's another. I mean, not that he needs it. Don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
We know he doesn't need it. But he's going to take Arizona.
He could get over 300.
Michigan is still going his way. And if you've been watching the New York Times the New York Times average had him between 305 and 315 in terms of the electoral vote.
So I'm looking at it on Real Clear Politics, and I know that it's true. But until I see it on the big screen, in this room.
Well, and the Trump campaign is waiting as well.
Yeah. Well, and everybody, as Sam heard me say time and time again on the Wrong About Everything podcast, when is Donald Trump going to be president? Soon.
And, I'm just honored that our show was the Minnesota outlet for exclusive Donald Trump interviews for so long during this process.
Yeah. who knew he was so funny?
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So while we're waiting, we do want to carry the acceptance speech for Donald Trump as soon as it happens. But we got a newly elected senator here. Who doesn't have his headphones on?
Re-elected.
Hey, he's
sorry.
Re-elected.
I'm sorry.
You know, he's just
my brain is fried at the moment. You're
going
to have to forgive me. I've been on the air for 6 hours now and been up for...
And you know, you did 3 hours this morning. We're doing 3 hours in a few hours. That's been a crazy couple of
I've been up for... Well, actually, I've been up for 24 hours now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah, because you woke up 12:30 this morning.
Yeah, so I'm a little spent, so you'll have to forgive me. Eric Pratt. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. It's an honor to represent Scott County, but it's also great just to be here. I mean, what a fabulous night we're having.
Yeah, yeah. What was your thoughts coming into tonight?
Well, you know, my thoughts were that it was going to be close. We had about a 50-50 shot of winning the majority, and I think it's really coming down to that.
Yeah.
We picked up some, you know, we picked up some seats that we're going to be hard fought. You know, Matt Schmidt down in Red Wing put up a hard campaign, and Mike Goggin really came through. Glad to see Rich Dreheim. I've been working with Rich, and glad to see him win that seat. I think he's a great fit for that seat, and it happens to be just to the south of me. Still waiting for those Dakota County results to come in, I think like everybody else, but looks like we're going to hold on to the John Peterson seat up in St. Cloud.
Yep.
And I think we're just waiting for Wilmer to come in, but right now I'd say the wind's in our sails, and we have a shot at taking majority for the second time in 44 years.
Eric, this is Mike Franklin here, proud constituent of yours. I'm curious we know there's a lot that could yet happen, but as it sits right now at 12:50 a.m., it looks like you guys may well be in the majority. How do you go to work with, now we know a majority in the House, how do you go to work in St. Paul, either in the majority or in the very, very narrow minority, working toward sort of solutions on health care and other things with Governor Dayton?
Well, that's a great question. The governor, you know, has kind of been absent in a lot of these negotiations, really not working with the legislature much and making demands at the end. I think that's going to be the key dynamic. How much is he willing to work? How much is he willing to look at these results? It's going to be tough, Mike. What I'm hopeful is that we'll be able to put forth a plan for Minnesota on Minsure in particular, where the governor is going to have to, where we're going to have the public support behind it, and he's going to have to kind of come along. I mean, the one thing I've heard knocking in our district, but also in districts for some of these other candidates, people are really hurting.
Yeah.
He was right when he said the Affordable Care Act wasn't affordable, and we really need to, that's got to be issue one.
Can I ask you,
we get back,
Senator, if let's say the current sort of forecasts hold and you are in the majority very narrowly, does that change anything as far as a special session within the next couple of months, and on healthcare or anything else? Do you think that augurs towards sort of a mandate coming to fix things for Minnesotans, or what do you think there?
Boy, I think it's going to be tough to pull together a special session just between now and January, especially with, you know, some of the divides we have.
But, well, and Eric, you won't have your new members until the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
I guess that's for Nick and Speaker Doubt then to really talk about.
Well, and I think, quite frankly, what we're looking at now and the tide of the country and where the Minnesota State Senate is going, yes, we can absolutely have a special session, but a special session if only the Democrat Senate can admit that they erred on their complete embrace,
Nick, there is no
Obamacare.
Nick, there is no more Democrat Senate.
Well, there would be in a special session, there would be.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's what it would take. It would take a Democrat lame duck Senate to say, we were wrong, you were right, and we want to fix what we screwed up.
Getting a couple of updates on the election. More and more outlets are calling it. Fox still hasn't. Trump is
on,
the
Fox
president-elect. John Podesta is on his way to speak
all people
at Clinton headquarters.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
I got an advanced copy of his speech because right now WikiLeaks is hacking his email in real time.
Andrew, this is breaking. This is breaking on CNN. Donna Brazile has leaked the concession speech to Secretary Clinton.
Right. Well, what I was saying is WikiLeaks, they're just happening in real time now.
Yeah.
Like he hit send on an email and it just shows up in everybody's inbox.
But can I just say, though, whose idea was it to have Podesta speak? Like, isn't he the guy where you're
I think he's going to apologize.
Do you think he will?
I think I don't think he's giving a speech. I think he's going to apologize.
Sorry, I'm a jerk, guys.
No, hold on. Is this really over?
I don't think they're willing to admit
this
it. They're looking
happening.
At Real Clear Politics 270.
But here's what else I'm seeing. Here's what else I'm learning on Twitter, and you guys are going to love this one. Hillary Clinton may not be giving a concession speech tonight.
Are you saying she won't accept the results?
Will you accept the results?
But Andrew, we're together.
Right. Will you accept the results?
According to her, it is unheard of in American politics to not accept the results of an election. This is the core of what makes America America, is having an election, accepting the results, conceding to your opponent.
Oh, wow.
She is apparently not going to give a concession speech, at least not tonight. Maybe
but
she's
Andrew,
planning on doing it in the morning.
Maybe she's tired.
Andrew, have you heard that Donald Trump is a racist?
I have heard that.
Okay.
You have to change
what you said before.
Have you heard But Russia?
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to reassess.
That's actually Nick Zerwas's new erotic thriller, But Russia.
I'm Nick Zerwas. Poor guy's got a kid and a wife.
As narrated by Nick Zerwas.
Guys. I'm actually still running.
Look, all right, you won. You survived re-election this time. Next time, you're not going to be so lucky.
Oh,
so at the end of this, you mean to tell me they're going to go 277 for 277 but Trump?
277
but Trump.
277
but Trump.
Right. I guarantee you, that's all. Everybody that was outraged and offended by Trump not refusing to say at that last debate that he would accept the results of the election when he did that coy little, well, I'll tell you when it happens.
Can I tell you guys from the Minnesota desk, the race for U.S. Representative District 1, which all of us were looking at intensely for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
Not.
Is currently being led by the incumbent Tim Walz by 236 votes.
Wow.
Holy cow.
With almost 45 precincts left to report, this is obviously in recount territory. This could very
sure.
well be the race of the evening for Minnesota.
Holy cow.
Do we still have Eric Pratt with us?
Yeah.
Oh, Senator Pratt, this is Brian McDaniel. A functional question. You talked about how the wind is in your sails, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, we lost David Hand tonight. So the question will be is who is going to captain your ship? So when do you guys gather? When do you guys kind of get together to decide who's going to be the leader of your caucus?
Well, right now is the plan. We're going to get together on Thursday morning and go through that. You know, we're all sad that we're losing David. David's been a fantastic leader for us, and this win is really a credit to him and his leadership. We've been, you know, he's kept this on the forefront of our agenda for the last 4 years. That what we've been talking about, how we've been doing our work in the Senate, has really been about showing Minnesotans that we as Senate Republicans can lead this state and to drive a clear distinction between the two. And you know, we've got some soul searching to do.
What this shows is that Senate candidates, for the first time in 4 years, Democrats that went far left under complete control, they're finally being held to account.
Yeah.
And Minnesotans are saying no. No.
No.
No to a far-left agenda. No to a complete takeover of their health care. No to a liberal tax policy. No to an out-of-control spending policy. No to a gas tax increase.
Yeah.
This is a resounding no.
Big fat no.
To liberal,
yeah,
far left Democrat Senate candidates that have not faced Minnesota voters in 4 years. They were getting the word from St. Cloud, Jerry Ralph.
Yeah.
It's very close.
Yeah.
It's very close, but it looks like it's over. It does look like it's over in favor of the Republican in that seat.
This has to be at the core of this, and a lot of people aren't going to want to think this, but at the core of this, I have to believe Obamacare, Minshew.
I totally agree with you.
That affected so many people in such a horrible way. We are up against the break. More on the other side.
Day morning, 6 to 9 on AM 1130, 103.5 FM, and the iHeart Radio app.